Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now to give you the opportunity to call and get an immediate answer to your question or to discuss the important issues you face in life right now. The number is 844-32-BASIC, and we await your calls, 844-32-BASIC, or the full number, jot it down, 844-322-2742. Either way, it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's what Paul had to say about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and its importance to us in day-to-day living. Romans 6:4, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Christ's resurrection is a historical fact. It's something that can be proved when you examine the evidence. It's just overwhelming. But that historical fact has significance to us here and now. The fact that Jesus Christ is alive today enables us to live a new life. And that's all. That's what we're looking for. We're tired of the struggle. We're tired of that stale old life. We want something new, and that something new is available to us in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Andrew, that's an exciting aspect of this Christian life, isn't it?
Oh, Bob, it is the very core of the gospel. And, you know, this is the most important topic we could talk about. The idea that we've got a new citizenship is fantastic. The idea that we've got a form of forgiveness that cannot be surpassed, once for all forgiveness, that's incredible. But the fact that the life of Christ has been deposited in us. I mean, Christ saved us in order for us to get to know Christ so that Christ can be Christ in and through us. And, you know, sometimes we just lose focus. We think the focus is good works. We think the focus is just good stuff. But the focus is Jesus, and he's the source of every good work.
You know what's interesting, Andrew, I find as we talk with people through the radio broadcast, out in conferences, one-on-one, in phone conversations, the question of how comes up, you know, when you read this verse, that we too may live a new life. Well, how is that possible? It seems like so many people are struggling to live a new life, but they're doing it by using their old methods, their old ways, and you know, it's like beating your head up against the wall. So how do we live a new life in Christ Jesus? How does Christ's life become ours in day-to-day experience?
I think it's choices. I mean, you know, there people think that the grace message, the message of God's grace, is some sort of easy believism, or that there's just, you know, a passivity to it sometimes. But I really think the accurate teaching of the gospel is that we have moment by moment choices to, you know, either believe thought A or thought B in a given situation. I can believe that I'm dirty and distant, or I can believe that I'm clean and close. And when I start to buy into the idea that I'm clean and close, well, then I've got the presence of Christ with me. And so then I start to choose. I mean, these are daily, moment-by-moment choices, saying, you know, if this is real, if Christ raised from the dead, if Christ gave me his life, if Christ lives in me in this moment, then this means that I have a new choice in this moment, and that I can literally and actually be an expression of Jesus Christ in this very moment. And Bob, I think that impacts our life in thousands of ways, but it starts with a little choice, a choice that comes from faith.
I agree 100%, and I think that's the operative word, a choice that comes by faith. This gospel message has always been by grace through faith. That is God's plan. That's how the Christian life is really supposed to work. How do we engage the power of Christ's resurrected life on a day-to-day basis? That is by faith, through faith. That's what the Word of God has to say, and that through faith comes from choices that we make on a day-to-day basis. Well, let's talk about it on today's broadcast.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley. My name is Bob Davis, and thank you for joining us. We'd love for you to join us by phone. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss, give us a call, 844-32-BASIC, or the full number, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go out to Livermore, California, and talk with William, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, William.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Well, and to you as well.
Thank you. I love the topic. But it seems to me that most Christians look to salvation through faith in Jesus by the fact that they've been forgiven their sins. And yet, doesn't Paul tell us, I believe in 1 Corinthians 15, that without the resurrection, we're still in our sins?
Yes. Mm.
Yes, it does. That's exactly what that says.
So that's saying that if Jesus hasn't resurrected from the dead, then we have no hope. We're still condemned. We're still in our sins, right?
Yeah, and you know, William, I mean, there's a little subtle difference there in that passage versus the forgiveness passages. I mean, it's one thing to have your sins taken away, behaviors taken away, behaviors forgiven. It's another thing to be in sin, to be in the flesh, to be in Adam, to be in your sins, and to be dead in your sins. So really, we're talking about man's condition at the core in that passage. And so if there's no resurrection, then the core issue is not dealt with.
Excellent. Okay. I just wanted to confirm that. Thank you, guys.
You bet.
Yeah, and that William's question really gets to the heart and soul of the gospel message and our real need as men and women. We're dead spiritually. We're separated from the life of God. Forgiveness, the taking away of our sins, doesn't solve that. It simply removes the barrier that stood between us and God as far as that condition was concerned. God taking away our sins frees him to give us new life, and that's what we really need. So you and I were dead. The gospel message is a message of life. When we turn to Christ by faith, that's what happens. Life is given to us. We are made alive together with Christ Jesus. So until that happens, we remain dead. We remain dead in our transgressions and sins, and that's not a good place to be.
Not a good place at all. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel, everybody, and the lines are wide open at 844-322-2742. That's 844-32-BASIC. We'd love to hear from you. Something special right now, Bob, Richard, and Andrew, that we're offering, and Andrew, you're very familiar with this, a copy of your book, The Naked Gospel, is going to be given to each of our listeners who can make a contribution at this particular time, and we appreciate so much the many of you who have been a part of the support of this ministry through the months and years. We can't do it without you. It truly is a partnership. So we encourage you to kind of get in the yoke with us and let's keep the good news coming, getting the message out via Basic Gospel. Again, The Naked Gospel, a copy is yours for a gift of any amount at this particular time to Basic Gospel. And of course, you'll find a support link at basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with our operator at 844-41-BASIC. That's 844-41-BASIC. Well, guys, I kind of a question from Dave, who writes to us from somewhere in Texas, and this I think his question could be applied in many different aspects to the Christian life, but he couples it with speaking in tongues or speaking from the Spirit, and this was a topic that we talked about early last week on the broadcast. He said, you were giving the example of going to Africa on behalf of the president. And his question is, so I have to ask or pray for God what God already wants?
Hmm. Well, you know, Bob, in the context of that question, I think we were talking about the Lord's will, and the idea was, you know, of this passage that says, you know, ask anything in his name. There's several places in the Bible where Jesus and the apostles even are talking about asking in Jesus's name and a prayer that is given in faith and that sort of thing. And then it sounds like it's just going to be an automatic yes, no matter what it is. You know, Lord, I pray for a Lamborghini. Lord, I pray for a mansion right now in Jesus' name. And, you know, from a first glance, from a surface level understanding of some passages in the scriptures, it looks like you just tack on those words to the end of some prayer and bingo, voila, you've got the slot machine of prayer, and out come the blessings no matter what as you pull down that handle. And that's not really the context. So the analogy I was giving, I guess it was a week ago, is just that, you know, imagine you're going over to Africa and you're supposed to represent the president in some mission that he sent you on, but halfway across the Atlantic, you go rogue. I mean, you pull out the napkin from your tray table, you put that down and you write on the napkin a whole new plan, a whole new agenda. Well, you're no longer, you know, operating in the name of the president. You're no longer acting in the name of the president. You've got your own rogue agenda here. And so, you know, that's what I really think is at the heart of asking in Jesus's name. It's not about using some magic language at the end of a prayer. It's really about what is on Christ's heart, what is on Christ's agenda for our lives. And so that's why when we do pray prayers like Paul prayed, for example, I pray that I would see the riches of your grace. I want to know you. Everything else is dung next to knowing you. You're the greatest. You're my everything. So I'm asking you to reveal yourself to me in a personal and a powerful way. When we pray this sort of thing, it's not a prayer of the flesh. It's not a prayer saying, change all my circumstances. It's a prayer to get to know Jesus Christ. And I think that's really what's in his name and on his heart.
Yeah. Well, Dave, I hope you're listening and hope this is a help to you. And friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, we hope you'll drop us an email with your question. We'll be glad to address it on a later edition of Basic Gospel. Right now, again, open lines 844-32-BASIC.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Victoria, Texas, and talk with Barry, listening to us on KCTA. Hi, Barry.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Doing fantastic. What's on your mind?
Just rejoicing. Lord is so good. I appreciate y'all. Pray for you guys. Y'all are a blessing to the body. I just had a question on 2 Corinthians 7:15. I was reading this morning. It says, his affection abounds all the more toward you as he remembers the obedience of y'all, how you received him with fear and trembling. Can you kind of explain that one to me, please, sir?
Be glad to, Barry. This is a phrase that Paul uses in several different places. Philippians, I think, 2, 10, or 11 and 12, that we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. I think it's a phrase that just really refers to being humble. It's that humble attitude. God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. And that's what he's referring to here, having a humble heart. And when you have a humble heart, you know that you don't have the answers, but Christ does. You know that you're not the solution, but Christ is. You know that your ways are not his ways, and that you need his ways and his life and his love and his forgiveness and his mercy. That's the idea that's being conveyed here. When we approach God with fear and trembling, it's a humble heart that we're presenting to the Lord. It's a flag of surrender saying, I'm all yours. Do with me as you see fit.
Yeah, and Bob, you know, the opposite of that is so true as well, that you know, we've got to look at the perfect love of God, which casts out the other kind of fear. I mean, the fear that is cast out by God's love is, hey, I'm feeling terrified by God. I feel like he's mad at me. He's ticked off at me. I've done too much sinning, and therefore he won't relate to me in a loving, affectionate way anymore. He's disappointed. He's shocked. He's frustrated. He's got his brow furrowed every time he looks at me. He's, you know, disgusted with me. And the Bible says that perfect love casts out that fear, and that God is not the author of fear, and that we can come to him with boldness and confidence to find grace in our time of need. So clearly, when you survey the scriptures about fear, we're not supposed to be afraid of God the Father. We're not supposed to be scared of him. But there is, as Bob so eloquently put it, I mean, there's a humbling, there's an approaching him with respect and reverence and awe, because he's the God of the universe.
Yeah, I like to put
yes.
I like to put this phrase in the context of the 24 elders in Revelation. Every time you see them, these are sinless beings obviously some kind of leadership position in the heavenly courts. Every time you see them, they're on their faces praising God. If the awesomeness of God and his love and what he does for us causes them that kind of response, shouldn't we be similar?
Yes, that's powerful. Thanks, God. Yeah, that's, you know, it's, you could come to him and think, you know, oh my gosh, he's going to listen to me, or you can come to him and knowing that he hears us and that we can come boldly because of the blood of Jesus, right?
Yeah. You got it, Barry.
Thanks. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks for your call. So nice to hear from you today. God bless you, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Guys, we're only 3 days away from the Hear It, Believe It, Live It tour beginning in Vacaville, California.
March 7th, just this Saturday. So come join us. We still have plenty of room for you. We've had a lot of people sign up this last week, and that's the way it is. We always procrastinate, always wait to the last moment. And so all of you folks that are waiting for the last moment, you've been sitting on the fence.
It's here.
It's time to get off the fence. It's time to register. Go to basicgospel.net, click the events tab, and sign up to be a part of this Saturday, this Saturday, March 7th, at the Valley Church in Vacaville, California. Talked with Jeremy White, the pastor there, yesterday. He is so excited about this. We're excited about it. It's a great opportunity to come and really hear the depths of the gospel and gain some practical handles on how this Christian life is really supposed to work. So come join us. We would love to see you there.
And you can go to the events tab at basicgospel.net. All the information is there. And in addition to that, an opportunity to register online. Again, that's events at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Long Island, New York, and talk with Lane, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Lane.
Hey, how are you?
Doing wonderful. How are you today?
I'm doing great, thank God. I have a question in regards to the Sabbath and why Christians go to church on Sundays. Where does it say in the Bible that Christians attend church services on Sunday and not keep the Sabbath day holy as God commanded that in the Ten Commandments?
Well, that's a great question, Lane. Thanks for that. It's going to be insightful for us to discuss it because we back up a little bit and we get the big picture of law versus grace. We get the big picture of old covenant relationship with God versus new covenant relationship with God. And so the Sabbath was an old covenant observance. It was created for Israel. It was a day of physical rest. But then under the new covenant, in the book of Colossians, for example, it says, you know, don't let anyone judge you with regard to a Sabbath day or a new moon festival or any of those Jewish festivities because, hey, you know, you're in Christ now. And the only thing that matters is Jesus. And the Sabbath was just a shadow or a picture or a symbol of resting spiritually in Christ. So for thousands of years when Jews didn't work on a particular day, that was actually just meant to communicate as a symbol or a shadow to communicate what it's going to be like for us to rest spiritually in Jesus Christ. And so that's why today, you know, you look in the book of Romans and it talks about don't judge someone, you know, every day belongs to the Lord. Don't judge someone about this day or that day. And the fact that we worship on Sundays, well, some people worship on Wednesdays. Some people go to a Saturday night service. You know, really, the freedom that we have in Christ, it's not about a particular day of the week. It's really the fact that every day belongs to Jesus Christ and that we have a spiritual rest in him. So does that help, Lane?
Yes, it does. What was that verse again in Colossians?
Well, Colossians chapter 2 is where you want to go. And as you look through Colossians 2, you find a whole, you know, an argument, a chapter full of ideas that, hey, you know, if starting in verse 9, let's say, you know, if we have this fullness and if we've been made complete, then verse 16 says, don't let anyone judge you. Colossians 2:16, it says, don't let anyone judge you with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow, but the reality is found in Christ.
Great. Thank you so much. Yeah,
the Romans passage is chapter 14. The whole chapter is excellent.
Elaine, what we're going to do, we're going to put you on hold. I want to send you a copy of a Bible study guide called The New Covenant Journey, and it will drive you into the Word of God, particularly on this subject of the Sabbath, what that means to us today. So let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this Bible study guide, The New Covenant Journey. You hang on.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
You are so welcome, Lane.
Yes, indeed. And once again, friends, we want to extend our heartfelt thanks to everyone who has supported Basic Gospel with your prayers and your gifts financially. It's truly that partnership that we talked about earlier, and your support is the fuel that keeps the message of the grace of God on the airwaves and online through Basic Gospel. We hope you'll continue to help us get the word out. And for each one of you who can make a gift to Basic Gospel at this time, we have a copy of Andrew's popular book, The Naked Gospel, for you. That's a gift of any amount to the ministry right now. You'll get a copy of the book, The Naked Gospel. The online support link, of course, is available around the clock at basicgospel.net, or during Central Time office hours, you can speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. That's 844-41-BASIC. May God bless and multiply your gift to Basic Gospel.
Well, Andrew, tell us a little bit about The Naked Gospel. It was your first book. I know you tell a lot of your story, but how have people responded to that? What are they taking away from reading that book? How is it benefiting people as far as their spiritual walk with Christ is concerned?
Yeah, you know, I've written half a dozen books, and for whatever reason, I guess, Bob, because it was the first one, it's the one I share my life story in, but for whatever reason, you know, this book, The Naked Gospel, seems to be the one that people gravitate toward, and it's sort of the gateway into the grace of God, getting a deeper understanding as we walk through the doorway of some doctrines. And then we see the daddy beyond the doorway, so to speak. I mean, we get to know Christ better. We get to know our Heavenly Father better. And so, you know, I get emails just like you guys do at Basic Gospel all the time. I mean, we get emails from people who have read our materials or heard the teaching of the New Covenant. And, you know, I just came back from a conference where a pastor said that he had read it three times in a row, the first time in his car for hours on end with tears streaming down his face, and just, you know, he was bankrupt. He felt spiritually, emotionally, mentally bankrupt. He had to take a year off from the pastorate because he was so wound up and so worn out. And he said that this book, The Naked Gospel, really changed his whole Christian life. And, you know, it's not because of the book, it's because of the truth that's in the book. I mean, all we're doing at Basic Gospel is pointing people to the truth that Jesus himself said would set us free. And so, you know, I just say to those listening that if you don't feel like your Christian life is marked by a sense of real, genuine, lasting freedom, then maybe this is the book for you. Check it out. Get The Naked Gospel through Basic Gospel. And it's yours as a free gift, for a gift of any amount to the ministry. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. And making a contribution to Basic Gospel, we're going to send you this book as our way of saying thank you. It will be invaluable as far as your spiritual walk with Christ is concerned. But you'll also be helping others in their spiritual walk with Christ. So it's a win-win situation for you. You benefit personally, and you help others benefit in knowing the love of God, getting connected to the love of Christ, and learning to grow in that grace that is ours in Him. So we encourage you to make a gift today. Be as generous as possible. I think there's no greater investment than an investment in the power of the gospel to change lives. There's lots of needs out there in the world. And there's physical needs, and people are responding to that. But oftentimes, the spiritual needs of individuals are being overlooked or just flat out ignored. I'm asking you not to ignore those. Why? Because those are the most important needs that we have. Once those are met in Christ, every other need will flow from there. So let's get people connected to the love of Christ. Let's get the word out so that others can know Christ Jesus.
Absolutely, Bob and Richard and Andrew. And our, of course, the link is at basicgospel.net. It's there available for you. Just click the support link or call 844-41-BASIC and speak with our operator. Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody. Now for Bob, Richard, and Andrew and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.